It's December 9th, 2013, and you're listening to episode 70, if you're going off your month schedule, but really it's episode 61 of Nitro Beer Free to Play. And I'm back in this one, but I kind of have a cold, so if I sound nasally, I'm sorry. But I'm Brian Belita. I'm joined by Mark Bradshaw.
Guys, I have some important news. Telltale Games is making a game of the intro to this podcast. It's going to be great.
Imran Khan.
So I'm going to use this opportunity to tell everyone that Brian's the best Secret Santa of all time.
Aww.
And that he got me a framed picture of the Lisa Frank-like art from Gone Home and got it signed by Steve Gaynor and Carla... I just don't remember how to pronounce
it. You can just call her Zusty.
Carla Zusty.
Yes.
Carla Z.
Carla Z. Yep.
It's super awesome, and it's framed, and I'm putting it up on my wall.
And the art is by Alex Senwald, who did some other stuff too, which I don't think I even noticed in the game, but there's kind of like a similar psychedelic, I think, panda bear art, maybe it was used in the game, maybe it wasn't, I don't know. But so those three are to thank for putting that together. It traveled all the way across the country, and then back to me, and then to you.
So basically, you just put everyone else on blast.
Yeah.
Yeah, you kind of ruined the curve for everyone involved. So he kind of told us at Secret Santing, as bad as he tells people at Spelunky.
Well, yeah. Well, as you have been told the previous week, you should be used to it.
Now you feel actually a bit of what I feel.
Ryan Bloom beat my Spelunky score last night.
No,
he did. He did. I bought the jetpack and. I mean, so that was, 20,000 gone right there. He beat me by like 3,000 gold or something. But yeah, between our little group of friends, the Spelunky Daily Challenge battle has been heating up.
It doesn't surprise me at all, though, because Ryan Bloom is the sort of person to completely obsess over a game.
Is he?
Well, yeah. Have you ever seen any of his Sonic gameplay videos?
I have. That's true. It's cool. He has a flat screen monitor now. This is nobody what? Else can understand this, but the longest time he just had like a 4:3 ratio CRT with just terrible resolution. But he's moving on up somehow.
I remember when he like got a new graphics card and he was running Crysis at like the highest settings at like 640 by 480.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so I've been, and I think Imran, have you streamed any of your daily challenge yet?
I haven't streamed any Spelunky now.
Okay.
I figure I might at some point, but...
Once you feel... Yeah. So I've been streaming mine. I know Mike Lemieux has been streaming his and some of the other friends from platformers.net. So it usually happens in the evening. So check it out. We kind of just hang out for like an hour and watch people try to beat each other at Spelunky and tell Mark.
Yeah.
Well, don't tell me. Just...
Toldstone Creamery ice cream or whatever.
It should be important that they shouldn't like find a way to message me after defeating my score. They just... have metaphorically
me. Yeah. We're also joined by Matt Pierce, I should mention. Up? What up? All right. So so he's here. And yep. That's
Matt cool. Pierce, the Joel McHale of the Nitro Beer Free to Play podcast.
So that's
snap, I guess.
Well, it's because you were just quiet and didn't say a joke.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, the absence of jokes could make me the Joel McHale of this podcast.
Which is weird because, I guess it's not weird because I like Joel McHale and like Community. I'm sure a lot of us like that show.
Yeah.
And he's hilarious on The Soup.
But right.
Did you ever see the infamous, I guess, was it Ubisoft a few years
Ubisoft
ago?
Ubisoft conference, the laser tag one.
Holy shit.
Was
that awkward?
Yeah. Was so he for some that reason, guy? Or...
Yeah, that was him. He keeps getting hired for these things even though he clearly has complete contempt for it.
And you guys claim he's funny.
No, he's amazing. Fun.
He's just terrible. He has absolutely no interest in doing these things for video game companies.
Well, I was going to say that's the problem. They need to stop hiring fucking comedians as hosts for video game shows.
This is the Ted guy. I think the big problem with Joel McHale is that he has a very punchable face. So it's obvious you don't want him at a live event because he's just full of smarm.
His face is on time?
No, you want to punch him in the face.
Oh, punchable. I thought you said punctual.
He may also be punctual, yes.
He does videos. Like, there's a 3DS video that Nintendo hired him for, and the whole thing is basically him saying, like, I don't want to do this, like, a whole PR thing. So, like, he doesn't want to do, even though the point of that is he's doing a whole PR thing, if you hire him to do, like, just read the spiel and the teleprompter, he'll just immediately hate it.
Well, what works for him on The Soup is that he's extremely sarcastic and sardonic.
Yeah.
Which doesn't work if the people you're playing to love the thing that you're making fun of.
Yeah. Well, I didn't watch the whole VGX thing, and I'm sure we'll talk about this at some point, but the only thing I watched was the interview with one of the developers from Hello Games for the game they announced and showed a kick-ass trailer for called No Man's Sky. So I saw that, and what's weird is that, and I think this is where Les brought, because they had Jeff Cayley interviewing the guy, but then also Joel McHale was there, and you can't really have two interviewers.
Yeah, and that's also why it was confusing, because, like, if you've watched Community, you've seen, like, the character's their name is Jeff. So everyone just saying Jeff repeatedly around Joel McHale was kind of odd.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and in the particular example that with the No Man's Sky interview, I mean, he was like, he would chime in now and again to say something like, carpal tunnel, would ya? Well, because, you know, they're talking about, you know, four guys coding this huge game.
Yeah.
And so he would just chime in, and it was cringeworthy. It was truly cringeworthy.
He made it awkward for everybody, which is appreciated. Like, that kind of annoys me after about 10 minutes, just in a comedic perspective. But you kind of have to appreciate just, like, the Game of Thrones one. Like, Telltale also announced a Game of Thrones game. Well, while he was there with, I think, the Telltale guy, he was like, so what are you doing about the sex scenes? And he just wouldn't let it go.
Oh, God.
And it just made it so awkward for everyone there.
Well, like, nobody likes the guy that makes a joke about, what do you do with your life? If, you know, do you have any spare time? How do you, you know, do this or that?
And a celebration of their hobby. It's...
Right, exactly.
Well, you guys actually like video games? What's wrong with you, nerds?
I truly hate people that say something like, you have too much time on your hands.
And I'm pretty sure Mikhail is like a stated gamer.
Sure.
Like he enjoys playing those things. It's just he doesn't like the marketing stuff.
No.
Does he seem like a guy who seems too cool to like what he... Does that make any sense?
This is all a character for him.
Is he the James Dean of video games? I don't know what that means.
Yes.
Okay. He's gonna die when his Xbox crashes off the road.
Oh no! Which Xbox? Okay, but yeah, no. So it was just, I mean, the one joke that really, I just wanted to punctuate him in the face was the, you know, do you have any spare time or you know, you have too much time on your hands? It's like, no, it's just that I'm doing what I want to do with my time. I'm sorry you don't feel that's, you know,
and not watching television or Community.
So that's one that really irks me when anybody says that about anybody that's done anything.
Why are you working?
He did what he wanted. Yeah. So I don't know what else there was in that. I just saw that one, but I heard there was something, which I think Matt explained, it was literally about a transgender remark of some sort.
Yeah, like he made a joke that everyone got pissed about, that they were calling, that people on the internet were calling a transgender joke. But then when you hear it, it's... they're talking about what rumors they're going to confirm or debunk on the show. And they just throw it out there. It's like, one of the ones we can debunk right now is that Wario did not have a sexual reassignment surgery. And that was the entire joke. The punchline of the joke is that wasn't a rumor anybody was thinking about.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not a very funny joke.
No.
But I don't get how that's offensive.
Yeah. No, I don't. Because there's nothing that is actually pointed on or to. It's just saying, oh, we can debunk that Wario did not jump off the Empire State Building.
I would say it like this. It's like, they wouldn't make the joke, and I'm going to be very crude here and apologize to the audience. You would make the joke, and we can confirm that Wario doesn't like to suck dicks, and even though there'd be nothing wrong with that, no one would like think that's a good thing to say or tasteful, and you wouldn't go there. It's like...
I don't know, that's a cleaner version of jokes like Simpsons has made in the past. Like, the following people are gay, and then it scrolls past a list. That's... Right. I mean, those jokes exist. It just... Maybe... I don't know, maybe it's just a little too... transgender stuff is not, like, new.
Yeah.
But I feel like... And maybe this is a wrong interpretation, but I feel like it's new to the internet.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, it's in the last couple of years, it's become a much more prevalent issue.
And people have been like started realizing that they should be more sensitive toward it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but no.
But at this point, I mean, it's just an oblique reference. It doesn't say one thing about it at all.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it could be more into the terms of like, okay, you wouldn't say this joke regarding this. It, of course, again, four straight dudes solving everyone else's problems. But it could be that they feel like they're the last, like either the latest thing that's trying to get relevance and trying to get recognition, or the last thing, you know, the last thing. Because, you know, we had tried to get racial equality. We try to get marriage equality, and this is the last big thing, you know, try to get transgender equality. So they may think, okay, you think we can make a joke on this because we're the last people left. And maybe why they're pissed off.
The same joke would work if you said something like, Wario did not come out of the closet.
I don't know,
because Wario
joke?
Can't come out of the closet. He's a cartoon character.
Would you make that joke, though? I mean, would you sit there and make that? Okay. Would someone in Hollywood make that joke now in 2013?
As long as you're talking about, like, you couldn't make that joke about a person who is actually able to have those feelings. But Wario is a two-dimensional cartoon character. Like, that's why that works. Because it's impossible for him to have done any of those things.
Sure. But I would also say that's not the joke that they made. I don't know. I think, like, even if they did make that joke, probably I don't know if they get pissed off. Probably the gay community would be pissed off because they think, well, what would be wrong with them doing
that's it. I'm done. They've ruined the year of Luigi. I had such high hopes for the year of Luigi, but everyone's just tainted it. They've just ruined it.
It's ironic because the year of Luigi ended with the actor who played Luigi dying.
Man, that was really? Pretty sad. Yeah, yeah, the Super Mario Brothers movie.
No, that wasn't Paul Walker.
Opposite of Captain Lou Albano.
Wait, God damn it, Mark. John
Leguizamo died?
No, the movie. The Super Mario Super Show.
Oh, right, the voice actor for the Super Show. My bad. You're right, that's John Leguizamo.
Not even a voice actor, he was an actor.
Okay, so...
that's right. Oh, God, I'm just all over the place today.
Paul Walker had nothing to do with the Mario franchise.
I mean, Fast and Furious is based on Mario Kart, so...
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Yes,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Man, I saw the most... The
so
most
much
terrible
better.
And amazing illustration of Brian from Family Guy and Paul Walker driving in a car with a giant silhouetted Nelson Mandela head in the background.
Oh,
and I couldn't.
2013, ladies and gentlemen. 2013.
Rule of threes.
Yeah. God, what were we talking about?
We were talking about the Spike VGA Awards, and I think at some point we should probably make fun of the awards themselves because they were worthy of ridicule.
Were they? It did the same thing they are every year.
Every year they're worthy of ridicule.
Just let Jeff Cayley do the whole show next year. Don't have two hosts; it'll get awkward. That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I think all we need to say, the best PC game was Gone Home. So that's super cool, I guess.
Yep. Best independent game, too.
Yeah.
I feel like nothing speaks more to the fact that how out of touch the VGAs or VGX or whatever is with their actual, like, with the games themselves. And the fact that they presented Gone Home in that nomination reel with, like, dubstep underneath.
Yeah,
like, I'm pretty sure you guys didn't understand what this is.
Okay, now, was it, like, the same song through all the clips, or did they specifically...
No, different songs.
Okay, so they decided dubstep was what you wanted for Gone Home.
Yeah. It's weird. Okay, so while I say
Gone Home had its own music. It was there. They could just use the Gone Home music and give somebody a little bit of
Well, for the acceptance thing, they had Chris Rainbow make a new track, which is appropriately 90s.
The thing that, well, I was going to say, speaking of, the thing that killed me, and this wasn't in anything related to Gone Home, this was for the VGX No Man's Sky reveal. Like, they had that, like, upwards flinging paint and, like, quick cuts and stuff, and that seemed hella 90s to me. I was like, is this little intro bumper thing from the 90s? It seemed like something out of 90s MTV. It was really weird.
Maybe it came with the video toaster that they bought. Here's a transition.
Entirely possible.
I love that best voice actor had Troy Baker twice.
That's pretty funny. And I mean, for having Gone Home, I was kind of hoping that they would have the voice actor from Gone Home.
But it's not a name you know, so.
Exactly, yeah.
That's the problem.
That's the recurring
Troy
theme
Baker
with most of
this really
stuff.
A name that I know. Like, I'm not super familiar with that. I mean, it's the performances that I know, not necessarily the characters. So speaking of, did you guys watch the... So in addition to Telltale Games making a Game of Thrones game, they're also making a Borderlands 2 game.
Yes.
And there's one more. What's the other one?
Was there another announcement?
There's one more. There's Game of Thrones, Borderlands.
That was the other announcement.
No, I thought there was a third one. Hold on. I tweeted about this earlier. I'm just going to pull it up real quick. I apologize.
I thought
for this.
Third one was something that, like, something they already had in development was still in development.
Let's see.
But I can't for the life of me remember what.
Oh, maybe it was just Game of Thrones and then Borderlands. Well, anyways, the Borderlands thing was a surprise to me.
They're still working on four different things.
Is it just me? It doesn't sound like the what's the guy's name? The voice actor for Handsome Jack, Damian.
I have no idea.
I'm blanking on it. But it definitely, in the trailer for the Borderlands reveal, did not sound like him, which will be kind of a weird blow to the game, I think.
Yeah, that voice actor made that character.
Yeah, exactly.
But we'll see. And
yep.
I have concerns about Telltale output, but apparently Wolf Among Us is pretty good, so.
Yeah, it definitely seems
like
they're
getting. I just have, like, my doubts as how deep and enthralling the Borderlands world is to justify a spinoff adventure game.
Well, it needs to be funny. That's the main thing.
Right.
There's a lot of funny games out there.
There's like Valve games and.
Yeah, okay, you got a point. I still have concerns.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess because they're essentially using, at least I think so, the same system across all of these games, maybe with slight tweaks when it comes to controls and stuff, it's probably fairly easy for them to pump it out and, I mean, just put the time into concentrating on story and whatnot. Why this big kind of, it seems like they've all of a sudden got like six games that they're working on.
Let's take a look through six games though. I mean, they have like the Fables game, and they have the Walking Dead game, and they have their Borderlands game, and just blows my mind that they have a Game of Thrones game, but back to that in a second. All their stuff they do is stuff based on other people's stuff. Is this like the only way video game licensing makes money now?
This is the only way Telltale makes money.
Yeah. It seems like they're the only people doing well with like video game or like movie licensing.
Wolf Among Us based on? That's right. Okay. I thought you were talking about the other Fable.
Because it seems like everything else has moved off of to pad games, so like 99 cent like iPad games.
Know High Voltage Software, right? They made the Conduit on.
Yeah.
They also port games badly to HD Remix.
Yeah, but they made most of their money, and you know the war chest that they had to actually develop the Conduit, which sucked. But they made all that money by doing licensed games.
Yeah.
And their licensed games supposedly aren't terrible.
There are other people, they're
just not well known.
Well, when did they make those licensed games? What platforms did they make them on? Like,
they're still making them, as far as I know.
What on? Like iPad or?
No, like from the PlayStation up through GameCube and Wii. Well, it's just that they don't have the name recognition that Telltale has because they weren't doing anything interesting. They were just churning these things out. I mean, they're decent quality games as far as I can tell. But Telltale reintroduced point-and-click adventure to a new generation, so they've got this notoriety.
Yeah.
Well, also, they don't have to worry about gameplay. They don't have to make something fit into how all this play in a game. And the times that Walking Dead did do that were generally pretty bad.
Right.
So they can just make
learned and avoided those.
Yeah. Like, I don't expect the Borderlands game to break out into a Borderlands shooter.
But it should. That'd be great.
At that point, just put that stuff into Borderlands.
That would also be great. Just make it into Borderlands where Telltale makes the money instead of Gearbox. No one is conflicted.
I'm sure Borderlands 3 is coming.
Oh, of course it is.
Yep. What's
his name?
Or whatever. What? Who?
I forgot the Borderlands guy's name. The Gearbox guy.
Pritchford.
Yeah, Randy Pritchford. That he was like losing his shit over Twitter. Tweeted him like, I don't think this DLC is very good, and he's like, you're taking food out of the developers' mouths.
Right, the Thanksgiving. Right, he was like, right, the person said the design for the turkey monster thing wasn't even that good, and he's like, you're wrong, it's a fucking brilliant design, dude.
Yeah. Now, was this like a professional reviewer saying this, or just some random
Twitter
guy?
Just
some dude. With no, like, juice at all. Like, he wasn't going to impact anyone.
No clout.
Yeah. And Pitchford then accused him of beating his wife.
What?
Because he said something like, you know, I have really good intentions. I just want Borderlands to be the best it can be.
Oh,
and then Pitchford said, like, well, people who beat their wives and children just think they're doing well too.
Oh God. Oh god.
It's like, wow, that like don't, any moral high ground you had just
don't do
drifted
that.
Away.
Don't do that. So were you all enamored as I was with the No Man's Sky trailer?
I thought it was really cool looking. I'm not sure it's gonna come out like that.
Right.
Like four people making a game of that scale seems crazy.
Like a Minecraft.
That's true, but that looks a lot better than a Minecraft.
Well, that's just visuals. I mean,
Minecraft
visuals
also took forever to do, and Minecraft still isn't finished. So,
yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah, I don't know. It looks rad, and I hope they can deliver on what they're talking about. I think it's a lot to bite off because it is an online thing. There is sort of this persistent universe, and you can visit somewhere that somebody has discovered. So I don't know. It looks huge. I don't know how powerful, you know, procedural generation or whatever is. There was an interesting article on, I think, IndieStatic about kind of the dangers of procedurally generated games. Which is a nice kind of critique of it and mm-hmm. the dangers of it. I'll have to see if I can find the link and put that in the show notes. But yeah, it's something I agree with. I mean, you can kind of get lost in that. Like with Minecraft, you know, I'll play for a while and then I'll kind of get burnt down on it because there's not really a point. But I think I would be perfectly happy with just a space exploration slash also survival, apparently.
Have these guys done anything else? Or is it
Joe Danger. Joe Danger.
Okay. So going over some of the other things from the VGX. Most anticipated game, Titanfall. No, and that seems... Sure, for us, it's going to be something completely different.
Titanfall 2, maybe.
But it seems like it's like most game that has had the most marketing dollars spent upon it. That's it.
Well, it always
most
is.
Hype game.
I mean, yeah. this
but
is.
But now they're just admitting it.
This is some pretty low hanging fruit. Because, like, going after the VGAs for just focusing on budget, like, the only time they broke away from that is when they gave Walking Dead Game of the Year last year. Yeah. Other than that, it's pretty much their MO.
Best song in the game. Let's
well, even up. Still, this is one thing that annoyed me.
Plants vs. Zombies 2.
One thing that annoyed me about VGX is that they had a best driving game category. Yes. And Gran Turismo 6 wasn't in it, despite pretty much everybody right now saying that it was better than
Well,
Portland
apparently
5.
They didn't give Gran Turismo 6 to reviewers or to judges in time.
That's,
which is why
that's bullshit, though, because all of them work for publications that have some ability to get their hands on these games.
I mean, if Sony didn't give it to them, Sony didn't give it to them.
Yeah. But then wouldn't it just go in most anticipated game? Because that's certainly going to sell more than Titanfall.
No, because for what it's worth, it's Titanfall is like the media event where Gran Turismo is just the thing that hangs around for years.
And sells more than those games.
Okay,
I mean, it sells to people that are not VGX judges. And if this is a issue of sales, then I'm guessing like Donkey Kong would be on that list, but it's not. And
that's
going
the
to
problem.
Be.
If the games that they're most anticipating are the ones that the people who buy games don't anticipate, then why are they the ones who always review them?
Okay, the reason it didn't win this wasn't in the category is because it came out that weekend. If it came out that fucking weekend, then everyone's going to be in on the joke. It's like, wait, how did you guys get hold of Gran Turismo 6 in 48 hours? Now, no one believes that these people actually just had 48 hours to play it, but that's what would happen. You can't put the thing out there.
Well, I'm sure they had a cutoff date long earlier than the weekend before.
And they didn't get the game out there, so I mean, there's nothing to do about that.
Like the cutoff date was months ago.
Yeah.
You know what's really weird is that the best DLC was not a DLC.
Yeah, I hear people complaining about that. The thing is, like, there's no other category for that, and
no,
I'm not sure if anything
I
else
mean,
should win. You know, it's like, was there any DLC better, like real DLC?
Borderlands 2 had a good chunk of great DLC. I mean, Tiny Tina's Assault on Dragon Keep was really good.
Would you think that okay? And it's not fair because Blood Dragon is a full game.
Yeah.
Do you say that it was better than the full game of Blood Dragon?
But it's apples and oranges.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't Blood Dragon just go into best game?
Yeah.
Because Blood Dragon doesn't exist without Far Cry 3.
It's exactly the same as Far Cry 3.
But The Last of Us doesn't exist without Uncharted 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, neither does Final Fantasy X 2, but it's still its own game.
And none of those games cost $20.
I'm also kind of surprised that the Lutesh twins won for character year.
That's
neat.
Stupid.
I enjoyed
that's stupid.
them.
No, that's okay. Dumb. She was there for 20 minutes. No, that's dumb. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Sorry. They were entertaining.
They were pretty fundamental to that game.
I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, so they had the Trust Twins. Were they more fundamental to that game? Were they a better character than Elizabeth?
I don't know if they were more fleshed out as a character, but they
seem to be more fundamental.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Quirkier.
Yeah.
And they're like super worked up about like the VGAs, which is...
All right, let's stop talking about the VGXs.
We had to talk about. So they have something else to talk about.
I'm just saying, it's like these awards are made probably without much time or effort spent on thinking about them. It's not the Oscars. They don't spend like... They're not there...
They are
trying to make
us,
the best decisions. That's terrible.
That's the sad part. They kind of are. This is all we have.
Because we're giving them credibility.
They're not like the Oscars because they're not democratic in any way. They are a lot more like the Film Critics Guild Awards. Like it's only the media who gets a say in it.
And I'm sure people vote like not having played all the nominees, which is not true of the Oscars. And if it is true of the Oscars, then just knock that off. Yeah. But a movie takes like 2 hours and a game takes like 30.
I think it is true of the Oscars, but there's so many people who get to vote on it because it's a massive number of people who get to vote.
Yeah.
That I think all of them are given screener copies of all the things they need to see.
So before we take a break, I want to talk about the Ouya Tweetathon.
The what?
Ouya Tweetathon is on the official Ouya forum, or at least I think so. Yeah. It's ouyaforum.com. Anyways, so one of like the admins for the forum posts basically trying to garner up people, get a bunch of people to find developers' Twitter accounts and tweet at them saying, hashtag Ouya Gameathon. Please put your game on Ouya, which is just awful. That's just horrible.
So they're going to Twitter and begging developers to put.
It's one step worse than a petition. I mean, it's...
Well, yeah. The idea is to convince these developers that there are enough people on Ouya to make it worth their while. Yeah.
But there's not.
But there's not. Yeah.
But
yeah.
You got to trick them.
But for one, there's not, and the developers know that, and so it just becomes becomes noise. It becomes spam. And it pisses the developers off. And Vlambeer, Rami Ismail, one of the developers from Ridiculous Fission, Nuclear Throne, which is on Steam Early Access right now, he posted on the thread because I think Mike Bithell, who made Thomas Was Alone, they were talking, and Rami Ismail made a post on the site, and people were accusing of him and the other guy of having an anti Ouya mentality. And, Mike Bithell hates the Ouya, he doesn't want to put Thomas Was Alone on it. And it's just such a shitty community, apparently.
Now, to be fair, this is entirely this guy's video game, and it's entirely this guy's decision where it goes and what he spends money on, right? Okay. Yeah. It's his creative vision. Yeah.
Are these exclusively Android games that they're targeting?
No.
Then they're insane. To think that any of these people would turn around and say, oh yeah, Ouya has enough people for me to port my PC game before they say, ooh, the 3DS has, or even the Vita.
Well, I mean, I'm looking through this thread, and the admin, he tweeted at Rockstar Games, I want to see Grand Theft Auto 3 on Ouya. I want to see Osmos. Sega All-Star. I want to see Sega All-Stars Racing Transformed on Ouya.
You can do that. Sega has no compunction about keeping their games off things.
It's like Art Wars, so they do this.
And there are mobile versions of Grand Theft Auto 3. So
that is true.
Sega did put the Yogcast guy into one of the video games. So yeah, they do this. But that's a separate point.
Yeah.
So it's just, I don't know, it's just a really kind of gross, toxic community.
I mean, this is what they do. Like, they I think fully believe themselves to be grassroots insurgents that are taking the gaming industry by storm.
Right. Well, I mean, they were all kind of patting each other in the background. They're taking notice, guys. It's working.
By being a bunch of whiny little brats.
These are all these people, by the way, who come out every 5 years when there's a new console generation. Soon we're going to have one console for all games. It's like, no.
Yeah.
We're not.
I mean,
if we did, we'd just be playing on PCs.
Would it make a lot more sense lobby Google Play Store to get some of this stuff on there? Would that make more sense? Because that's actually where it's coming from, right?
Well, then, I don't know. I don't know how things get from Play to Ouya. I was under the impression you could just install Android software on it.
Yeah.
It wouldn't necessarily support the controller.
Yeah.
The fact that the Ouya succeeded as much as it did with this Kickstarter campaign, it still boggles me.
Well, they sold people a bill of goods.
Yeah.
Dude, they sold some very fanatical people.
I saw them stacked up in Target, and it still boggles my mind that that thing is.
You can buy them at Target. You can buy them at Target.
I saw them at Toys R Us. Like, they weren't even like. Wow. You know, they usually put consoles behind things so you can't like just take one and run. Yeah. And this thing was just like. Yeah, it was like next to the DVD shelf.
Not only that, it's not locked up, and it is small enough to be pocketable. Yeah. And they're just like, fuck it, no one cares.
You'd be doing us a favor.
Are they set up beside those like 25-in-1 like Genesis systems?
Yes, actually they are.
As far as I'm concerned, the best game on Ouya as of right now is The Amazing Frog.
Isn't Towerfall out there?
I guess that's one. But I think more people need to be talking about Tower Climb. And that's not a joke. There's an actual game called Tower Climb, which is really good. I posted it on Incubator a while ago.
I only play games where you go deeper into things.
Oh, but it's deeper, just upwards deeper.
Deeper into the...
Reverse deeper?
Reverse deep?
Reverse deeper. This sounds like a Metal Gear Solid thing.
Deeper into space.
Which, okay, so... Metal Gear Solid with, like... They have exclusive content on consoles? Like, PS1 or PS3 gets the... or PS3, PS4 gets the PS1 stuff, which is... Like old Solid Snake and like a MGS1 camo, and then Xbox One gets like Cyborg Raiden in his own missions. It's like, I want that. Why can't I have that? Because I got a PS4.
Exclusives. Ugh. Is that just a visual thing, or is it?
No, it's missions. Like new missions and stuff.
Oh wow!
It's like it's actual content.
The reason they do it, and this is such a stupid thing because it can't make them that much money. Ooh, is that people who own both consoles might buy both copies.
Ugh, don't do that.
If you do that, I hate you.
There are people who buy $150 collector's editions. So why not buy two copies of a $60 game?
This is also why we have to deal with $60 season passes on games. Because there are a different percentage of you assholes who did this to us.
The thing is, Ground Zeroes is like, it's kind of a gross cash grab. Either way.
Metal Gear, so I'm not too mad at that.
I don't think it's more Metal Gear.
My favorite sentence on this podcast so far. Cash Graham Cap Floyd.
Cash Graham.
I think it's them cutting out part of the game and going, all right, here, pay $30 for this. Which is like, no, that's shitty, but you know I'm going to do it anyway, so I see why you did it, but you're assholes. Like that should not be coming separately. They should be making Metal Gear Solid 5 as
a I kind of equate it to like taking your car to the mechanic. Like if especially if you don't like have one that you trust. It's like, you know, you get your car back, well, we fixed this, but you know, here's another thing you're probably going to want to pay for. It's just you don't know, you don't trust. Maybe something's wrong. Maybe this is content that didn't exist before. Maybe it's content that they just sliced out and decided to sell to you again.
Yeah, you know, we fixed your radiator, but maybe your brakes are messed up. I don't know. They might be. You probably won't pay us for that.
I'm betting what happened is Metal Gear Solid 5 is going to take till like late next year or maybe even past that. And Konami was like, nope, you got to release something now.
We got to get paid somehow for this crap you've done. You produce one game this console generation. You guys have got to do something for us.
Metal Gear is their big thing. So I guess, like, for Metal Gear Solid 4, they basically shut down the entirety of Konami to work on that game.
It's also possible that, like, the full game would be so far past the PlayStation 3 generation that it'd make no sense to release it. So it's just throw something out there you can get on PS3.
Which is the other thing that's really gross about Ground Zeroes, is that it's $20 on PS3 and 360, and $30 on Xbox One and PS4.
You people have money, you can afford to pay it.
Yeah, it's basically that, like, so you got, it's a next-gen tax, like, you guys have this, so fuck you.
You're the 1%, just go ahead and cough it up. The rest of us plebs will stay here with our $20 games.
One of the things I've been thinking about recently, though, is, part of the problem with budgets on games in general and like shutting down all of Konami to work on Metal Gear Solid 4, they're trying to make things that look as intense as movies. and look realistic like movies and have all this cinematic direction, but then also have those things last for 40 hours.
Mm-hmm.
That's not really a feasible scenario.
That's always
problem. Metal Gear, because it's pretty make or break that they have to do that or people won't accept it.
I think people would accept a 20-hour Metal Gear. And then
I don't know
if they
get
two of them in a generation. I think they'd just be fine with that.
I don't know if they would. I don't know. They people would be happy with what they get, because where else you can get Metal Gear? But I think at that point it becomes Splinter Cell and it doesn't become as important a thing.
All the themes would still be there and it would still be ridiculous and crazy. But
at some point you have to respect the idea of the person who making it wants to make it that way.
But also you have to wonder, it's like, maybe you should just go ahead and make your movie.
It's okay that it's cinematic, but if you came up to somebody in Hollywood and said, I want to make something that looks like the best action movies that are being made today, and also I want it to be 40 hours long, they tell you, okay, the budget is $600 million, and no one's going to want it.
Did Metal Gear, the first Metal Gear, did they start this? Because I feel like this whole thing didn't start getting out of hand until Kojima came along and kind of set the expectations with this game.
I mean, that was that generation. It was the generation of, let's make really awesome cutscenes because presentation is what we're focusing on.
Right. Yeah.
Because, like, that was Square and Konami, and they were all... Resident Evil was a big thing of that, too.
And it's cool that they're making the cutscenes and they're making all this impressive stuff, but at some point, something's got to give because the budgets just don't make sense anymore.
I mean, they can't not do it at this point because Metal Gear's all they have. So they have to keep making it to expectations.
The rest of the industry probably doesn't make a lot of sense.
Like, what's going to save them? Lords of Shadows?
Maybe they could cut it back to a 30-hour game and not spend quite as much money on it. Things happen off-screen, maybe.
Maybe.
See, I kind of wonder if, like, the cutscenes are actually the cheapest part of that game.
They probably are. And maybe that's what Ground Zeroes is about. At the end of the day, maybe this is about presenting a more condensed Metal Gear experience and just getting people used to that idea. It's like, okay, we still have our Metal Gear 5 whenever, but this is something a little more sane that we can actually produce every 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, tell me this. Would you buy 2 20-hour Metal Gear Solid games at $40 a pop instead of one at $60 a pop?
Sure, but they're not going to do that ever.
Yeah, they would make, if anything, they would give you 2 Metal Gear Solid games at $60 a pop, regardless of how much actual gameplay was in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't think that, I think our expectations are too high. Like, I think my expectations are too high. And I'm starting to realize just how ridiculous a 40-hour game is to somebody who has other hobbies.
What is it? It's also ridiculous when you think about how that train kind of reversed this year, because you take a look like Blood Dragon and Gone Home. You just have a bunch of games that are very condensed, maybe last 4, 5, 6 hours at the most. And, you know, you can still have a lot of fun with that. But there's also, like, you can't sell that game for $60. And that game still takes as long to produce as anything else. Like, if they produced a 6-hour-long Metal Gear, it would cost just as much as their 40-hour Metal Gear, because the production values are that high. It's not like they're going to be able to keep that at a discount.
You still have to advertise it like a 60-hour Metal Gear, and that's going to be the chunk of the cash on that thing.
And you've still got to build the same engine.
Yeah, because they rebuild their engine every single freaking time because they're crazy. So I don't.
But it's just, it's everyone wants to chase that billion-dollar GTA Call of Duty thing.
Everybody wants the media event.
So they need to build the expectations of the media event.
Yeah. So one more thing, and I think this is brilliant. Did you guys see that apparently with the Xbox One version, or maybe the PS4 version, I don't know, of NBA 2K14, that if you swear while playing the game, you'll get a technical foul due to bad language? And you're like,
same with FIFA.
And you'll get like a message, you know, from the Manchester City board or that's for FIFA, obviously. You know, saying a warning regarding your recent behavior. I think that's brilliant.
It's one of those things that's like funny once and you laugh at it, and every time after that it's like, why the fuck do I have this thing connected?
I mean, I don't swear that much in video games. Certainly not aloud, unless maybe I'm
I do. It's terrible. It costs so much money.
I can't believe that, Mark.
What does it like interpret as a swear, and what doesn't it?
Go bollocks. Suck an egg. Bollocks. I like that.
You son of a motherless goat.
You son of a break.
This is what happens when you meet a stranger in the Alps?
I don't know what that means.
break.
I'm going to kill this fucking one.
We're back, and I'm a dog. I helped save a dog today.
From what?
Being lost.
I think of a dog.
Well, so he's going to have a whole bunch of cliffhangers and plot twists?
Son of a bitch. I hate you so much. I don't even watch Lost, and that's not Lost on me. Son of a bitch. Okay.
It wasn't a bad show for a while.
No, for a while.
Like, there's a point where clearly, like, they run out of ideas, and, like, ABC told them just, you know, move it along. This is kind of... Like, they go into the origins of the main character's tattoos.
Ugh.
Right. I absolutely love how many shows that describes. It wasn't bad for a while.
Heroes, well, I mean, series that, one.
That's the problem with, like, long-running American TV shows. They're not built to tell a small story. Like, Breaking Bad might be the only example of going, all right, we have this many seasons, that's it. Like, we're not going to move past that. That's it, regardless of how successful this thing is.
Well, supposedly Battlestar Galactica was supposed to do that, if you believe their lies. Which clearly they got to the last season and had
Mark's
no idea
asylum.
What to do.
Mark's
didn't asylum. That like, you know, go completely crazy? Like, not crazy, but like everything seemed super rushed in the last season.
It did, and they swore like this is what we meant to do all along, and no,
that
you're
just
lying.
This means you were crazy all along.
If this is your plan, then your plan was stupid and insulting.
Yeah. The TV industry is make a pilot, don't plan what you're going to do out after that, and just like make. All like everything from then on, like make this go as long as it can until it runs out of gas.
Yeah, the way that you know, spoilers by the way, for Battlestar Galactica, the way that you know that they lied about having that planned out was when they had to like last second, oh shit, wait, that guy had a baby. Now we have to figure out how that's not his baby. Yeah. She was cheating on him, I guess. Okay.
And now everyone hates his wife because she's cheating on him. So everything feels cheap because now it feels like you're trying to make everyone hate his wife. Everyone loved his wife. This is terrible. Thank you for ruining 3 years of our lives retroactively.
Was that the Cosby Show?
Yes. It was also the Cosby Show.
Got it. So I've been playing video games.
What have you been playing, Brian?
So, of course, I have been doing the telling in Spelunky for the most part, which is just a running joke because Mark came out and like bammed a pretty good daily run and was like, I forget what you said.
Well, here's what confused me, because it turns out in Spelunky, if you're like in the middle of a daily run, all your friends see that daily run as 000. So I had a decent run, not amazing, certainly not one of your
that's
runs.
Right.
And it was a Brian Belita, or like your name, whatever it was this day. It's like 0011. And I said, everyone point and laugh at Brian.
No,
and
it just said $0 because the daily challenges are measured in how much gold you find.
Yeah.
And so when Mark saw it after his score, mine was just registering a zero because I was in the middle of my run. So he took a screenshot and he was so happy and so proud. Yeah. And then I like doubled his score.
Yeah. Just. Like without even thinking. So, by the way, I did this. So then it became a game.
Yeah, it's just right. Everybody just tells Mark. Just he gets told on
and
a daily.
Basis. It's not very hard because I love Spelunky and I play it all the time. I'm bad at Spelunky.
You're okay at Spelunky.
I do all right.
You should stream some. I want to watch you play Spelunky.
You will hear a lot of cussings. Like there will. It seems to me there will be some penalties thrown.
The key to that game is just being really, really cautious. Like there's rarely something that gets thrown at you that like there's nothing I can do about that.
Because of like the minute 30 timer on the ghost coming out that will hunt you down and murder you.
Is it a minute 30 or?
It's a good. Yeah, it has to be a balance between moving really fast and being cautious.
Like, the only times I felt really screwed about that are the gimmick rooms.
Yeah.
Where they'll be like, okay, well, here's a snake pit, but you couldn't tell it's a snake pit until you fell down it.
Yeah. Oh, right.
And now you're out of ropes, or, hey, here's a giant amount of, like, really heavy, or really big spiders.
Well, just so you know, at the bottom of every snake pit, there is a pickaxe.
Yeah.
Is there?
If you bomb at the very bottom middle of a snake pit, there's always a pickaxe there.
And see, I don't know any of the, like, I feel like the advanced spelunky strats are completely lost on me.
I only
knew that by throwing, like, a bomb down there one day. It's like, oh,
well, I found that because if you get the Wad Yet Eye, from finding the key and the trunk, then you see it down there. And I noticed, like, okay, so there's always a pickaxe down here. But yeah, there's a lot of little shit like that in Spelunky. As I mentioned, I think a couple episodes ago, that is like this, it's like modern folklore.
Yeah.
So, I've been playing that. I bought my friend Torchlight 2 on the Steam Summer Sale, so I've been playing a bit of that with him and enjoying getting back into that.
I've barely played that game. I really should at some point.
We're still pretty early on, so you should join us. I try to play at least a little bit every night, so.
All right, I can totally do that then.
Do it.
Because I got that game at launch, and then I just maybe put like an hour into it.
Yeah, I have a couple characters that I mainly soloed up really high because my brother and my other friend just out-leveled me terribly, so I never got to really play with them. So I'm happy to have somebody that's kind of at my level to co-op. So start a new character, and we'll get you up to speed. So I've been playing that, which is really good, by the way. And I've been playing, I got Legend of Grimlock at launch. Grimrock, goddammit.
Yes, I did the exact same thing.
I know.
They should not have named it that. It was their own stupid fault.
Legend of Grimrock.
God, I want to play Legend of Grimlock now. Great.
Legend of Limrock.
Legend
of Limerick. It's what Legend of Limerick. All right, so.
There once is a man from Nantucket.
Yeah. And when that first came out, I didn't put too much time into it. Looking at my Steam stats, I probably only put like 4 hours into it. And I was just looking at something that I could play on my lunch breaks at work, and I was like, you know what, I should try Legend of Grimrock again. So I'm playing that, and I've put like 10 hours in the last 2 weeks, and I'm much further than I got before, and I'm super enjoying that. The puzzles are really cool in that game. Yep. It's a good game.
The puzzles are great. The only thing I have against the puzzles is too many of them are timing based. So like you hit like a switch and then you have like have like a number of steps to get there. You have like 3 seconds to get there, and like just moving around is so cumbersome because the kind of game it is. It's very difficult to get to.
Pretty easy to do. I mean, it's just WSAD.
Some later ones are pretty bad. If you'll get to list some of them.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. I mean, because they're puzzles that you actually have to kind of think about. And speaking of, I've also been playing MagRunner Dark Pulse.
MagRunner Dark Pulse?
it's Portal plus Cthulhu minus Portals plus Magnets plus Mirror's Edge aesthetics, sort of. Plus Hypercube or Cube. What was the first Cube movie? Was it just Cube? You know what I'm talking about? Horror movie, Cube. People in this cube with moving quadrants and traps, death.
Yes.
It plus that too a little bit, but anyway. So the game is set up in the future, and there are a bunch of these mag runners, people who learn to control and work with magnetic fields because that's like the new source of energy in the future. And so you go through these series of test chambers. They're literally test chambers. And things quite quickly go to shit. And there's some H.P. Lovecraft stuff going on, fish people and Cthulhu. And now I'm doing magnet puzzles in outer space. Or, well, I shouldn't say outer space. It's more like lost in time and space. With
gravity? What kind of gravity? Like in outer space?
It's just regular gravity, yeah. And then there's just a giant looming Cthulhu in the background. But I'm really enjoying it. I was really surprised with. I'm not sure what I was expecting. I was expecting, yes, just kind of first person puzzling. And there's some really puzzling shit. I'm really enjoying kind of figuring out how these magnets work. Shit. I did it.
Does a clown come out and ask you, can you explain the magnets?
I found out how magnets work.
Was it everything you hoped it would be?
Oh God, it's a miracle.
Was the Tower of Jesus that makes magnets work? Because that's what we're led to believe.
So I'm really enjoying it. The voice acting is surprisingly good. The only thing that throws me off is there's like a load every level. Every 20 square meters or I don't
fucking know. Like Half-Life 1 loads.
Yeah, it's sort of like that. There's a lot of loading. It's not too bad, but it's a little jarring. But it's good. I'm really enjoying it. If you're looking for a first person puzzler, This is high up there. I hope they do a sequel because there's some places it falls short on, but they've proved their concept very well. And that's pretty much it. That's pretty much it. Splunky Light Runner Rock Pulse.
Splunk Pulse.
Yep. What about you got? Oh, My Secret Santa, Harling Talks on the forums, gifted me the new Zelda game for 3DS, A Link Between Worlds. I haven't started playing it yet, but I'm going to. Maybe tonight.
You should probably play that in like the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I need to do the same.
I got the hint.
Yeah. Yeah. That's... I haven't started that yet, but I keep meaning to because I made the dumb mistake of buying the Phoenix Wright DLC, which is, it's fine DLC. Like, it's a really nice case,
Phoenix
but...
Wright Blood Dragon?
Yes. But it makes that game way longer because it's a whole extra case. So I just appended, like, 4 hours onto a game I'm trying to desperately to finish as quickly as possible. So, yeah, I'm at the very end of that game, and I'm going to try and get through that and start Zelda soon.
Cool.
But other than that, I've been playing Spelunky. That's basically it. Spelunky has so taken over my life that I'm considering buying Spelunky again.
I thought I was going to ask you if you ended up buying it for the Vita.
I thought you already bought it. Like, are you
made up your mind? It does not go on sale till tomorrow.
Okay.
But they gave me, like, with the PS4, they give you $10 in PlayStation credit. So, like, I could totally just buy this. It wouldn't cost me anything, so why did I do it? Oh, my God.
You'd have portable Spelunky.
I would. There would be nothing separating me from Spelunky.
But, yeah, I was going to say, and the problem with that, though, is that you'd also have portable Spelunky.
Yeah. I need to go to work at some point. And, like, I need to not play video games at work.
What you could do is, like, find a way to play Spelunky as your job. Find a job that will pay you to play Spelunky.
I could be a professional Spelunky streamer.
Yeah.
Whether they know it or not.
Yeah. I could totally get a job and, like, hide the Vita somewhere inside me.
Cyber Vita.
So they can't, like, frisk me for it?
And then it can, like feed out the video to, like, your Google Glass eye.
Right. Well, I was just going to say, just sitting at work with, like, an Oculus Rift on your face going, nah, these are prescription, man.
I need this. You can't say anything.
Does Google Glass support games yet?
I don't know if it supports anything yet.
I don't know. Probably not.
Probably not.
That's got to happen at some point, though, right?
It surely has, like, a Bluetooth feed to it. So
Glass, Google Image Search, horse dicks, safe search off.
Yeah. Apparently, you can do that very easily to people with Kinect. Like, I was reading something, like, a father was trying to make his kids come down, like, to eat dinner. So he just yelled, Xbox off, yes. And then they came down. Which, that's an interesting thing to do with it. On the other hand, that seems really annoying as an Xbox owner. Like, if I were an Xbox owner, like, I don't want people being able to shut my system down.
Also, I imagine it's probably something really easy to turn off.
Yeah, but also I want voice controls, but I don't want anyone else to have them over my system. Yeah.
I imagine there would have to be like custom voice controls. Like you could tell it, like give it a different string to tell it to shut off. You just hope nobody knows that string.
But that's also like that gets into the area of like stupid.
Yeah,
I think we have to
accept some level of stupid for this kind of functionality, though. It's like if we're going to accept the fact that we can control these with our voices, then other people will be able to control their voices. So
I don't think it's totally unreasonable for like the Xbox to only recognize approved voices.
Isn't that the whole thing?
Know.
Like you can walk up and say something, and it'll recognize your face and body and voice, and it'll load your profile or whatever.
Like you recognize your face, I think. That's about
okay.
It. Yeah,
With parents, at least, though, I mean, parents have always had the ability to just walk up and turn the fucking thing off.
Right.
And you can't do shit about it because they're
unlimited
parents.
Unlimited power.
Like, no, man, just turn that shit back on. You can't control me, Dad. Don't hit me.
I use the I will leave when I get to a save point thing.
Yeah. Oh, man.
When I was a kid, a lot.
Yep.
It's surprising because they have no idea what a save point is. Like, a save point was like 19 hours away. I'm sorry. I have to get to the save point.
See, they don't even have save points or autosaves.
Yeah, by the time games had save points, my parents didn't care anymore.
Right.
Yeah, I haven't played anything new.
So pretty much just Spelunky.
Yep.
Cool, good. Work your way up.
As we're getting ready for Game of the Year stuff, I should be playing other games, but...
Not this game released last year.
Soon you will be able to do the telling to Mark.
Yeah, and I got to start Ninja Gaiden again this week because we're talking about that next week.
Was Brian aware that we were
playing? Yes, I'm aware. Yes.
I talked to him about it.
Okay.
He ended up actually having the game, so we didn't screw him as much as we thought we were.
It's a game that I own.
Yeah. But then we've only got one more free to play this year. So, and to get our Ninja Gaiden note.
Yeah, we're going to record
that's fitting.
Next week, and then we're going to take a break until the new year.
Yep.
Because we've earned the time off or something.
Also, none of you are going to listen to our podcast on Christmas Eve, and if you are, what's wrong with you?
Well, what is, you know, what if you have no family? And, like, the only thing you have is to listen to this podcast.
So, Mark, what have you been playing?
You should be going to the homeless shelter and giving them food.
You totally should be doing that. I've been playing Gran Turismo 6. And Gran Turismo 6 is pretty great.
So tell me about the moon.
What's your favorite part?
The moon. But the moon's kind of fucked up because, I don't know. There's, like, three. I'm going to assume, like, there's more moon stuff that comes up. But the moon has just opened up in my game, if that makes sense. So there's, like, three moon missions. And you just go from, like, point to point. And there's nothing really a lot to them. It kind of.
Can you drive other cars on the moon? Or is it only, like, pre-approved moon cars?
You can only drive the moon buggy.
That's lame. Yeah, well, that's a missed opportunity.
Yeah, we were the only country to actually send a car to. Now, admittedly, sending a car to the moon is pretty badass achievement, but it turns out we're the only people dumb enough to do that. So there's only one car up there, and this being Gran Turismo, they're only going to like use the authentic car.
Yeah, I really want like take a Yaris up on the moon,
okay. And watch it do nothing because there is no oxygen for it to combust.
No, we're fucked. Like, I can hear, I don't know, should I be able to hear, like, the engine noise in the moon buggy? Like,
yes.
Can it, like, okay, can it, like, vibrate?
It would vibrate up to the seat.
Okay, because I can hear, like, the little whirring noise going on.
But that's why when they do the replay, you don't hear it from outside.
Oh, wow, really? I wasn't aware of that. So, one thing about the replay, and this has been going on in, like, every Forza game ever. Why is it the default, once you get finished with the race, to go to the replay? Who sits there and watches the fucking replay? Unless you did something really cool, which is like 1% of any game, why is the replay the first thing that comes up?
Because people want to see cars. I feel like that's the, pardon the pun, driving force behind Gran Turismo.
I would rather just get to the next track. And is
that how they're doing it in the regular season races in Gran Turismo 6?
Wait a minute.
Like the regular season, like Sunday Cup races.
Yeah.
Well, that's how they do it? They go straight into replay?
Yeah, straight into replay. It's like every other Gran Turismo.
No.
Five four wasn't like five that?
Neither four nor five did that, and I can't remember.
Four did that.
Nope.
I know two did that because it was a dick. But yeah, you just go straight into the replay.
One and two did that because it was so new and novel at the time, and then Forza is based on Gran Turismo, so it just copied
they do
it.
That. Yeah. So, I mean, it's fun. I kind of agree with Jeff Gertzman, though, in that the best game of this type that was ever made was probably Forza 3. So because it's like it had the most like next gen features at that time.
Wrong, Diddy Kong Racing.
I hate you with a passion. But this is good. This is probably going to be the racing game we'll be playing for the next several years because it's that sort of game where you just wind up.
Also because they won't make a Gran Turismo again for the next several years.
Yeah, for the next several years. So you're kind of stuck there.
Because Forza 5 isn't going to be worth playing. And
yeah, it's kind of
disgusting.
Neither will
the need
right
for
now.
Speed games or Grid or any of them.
Yeah. This game doesn't have the rewind. Was rewind in previous Gran Turismo 5?
No, that's a Forza feature.
Okay. It's not here. I thought I would miss it. It's not as bad because it turns out without car damage, like there's not as much of a reason to rewind. Also, the enemy cars are kind of dumb. I don't know if this is a new thing because they're accurately modeling like clean air, like you get out of the pack and you get like clean air and you go faster, but as soon as you break away from the pack, the lead car becomes really slow or really dumb and you wind up being able to catch him almost always in like two laps. So I don't know if that's
well, it might just be because you're not very far into it,
you're
playing with a car that's maybe more powerful than they expect you to have.
I don't think so because they have the PowerPoint limits on it, and I try to keep well below that limit because Forza is one of those games where you can definitely like ruin the fun by just going out there with your 900 horsepower Skyline and ruining everything.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. It's well, one of those things with Gran Turismo 5, at least, where whenever they did anything that was timed, the limits would be absolutely ridiculous. The numbers they expected you to be able to achieve were unbelievably hard.
Yeah.
And then when there was anything with traffic, it was way too easy.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going on here. Because there's a lot of little mini games where you can like just do like timed laps or whatever, and those are super difficult. Like I'm lucky to get, I have to work go through them like a half dozen times just to get bronze. And when I get bronze, they shut off and say, you know what, fuck you, I'm done, go away from me. But like the races, I just go right through them. It's not a problem.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure why they think that traffic is going to slow you down that much. Do they think that you're going to try never to touch anyone?
I guess because, maybe that's the idea, since there's no car modeling, you're just going to be polite and not hit anyone. But that's stupid because you use cars for turning in a Gran Turismo.
Oh, so, no, I don't do that. But I mean, one of the tricks that worked in Gran Turismo 5 that might work in 6, if you want to kind of play it, play it straight, is overtake on the outside.
Because, I can,
because they won't push you off the road.
Okay.
They will be polite enough not to push you off the road. That means they're going to get a really shitty exit out of the turn, which means you're going to just blow by them on the straightaway.
But it means, but if you're passing them outside, that means your car is way more powerful than what they've got.
No. You either end up braking late to do it.
Yeah.
Or you brake early and pass them on the inside.
And just make up for it. Okay.
Yeah. But it's all about, like, passing in that game is all about getting the better exit out of the turn.
They have a new feature in this one. It's called the Goodwood Festival of Speed.
Yes.
And what?
That is the real name of the Goodwood.
That sounds like a Hong Kong like ripoff or something. That's a Need for Speed movie in Hong Kong.
That is absolutely a real festival of speed that has been happening every year since the 60s in England.
That blew my mind when this happened, because I was playing the game and I got this letter from Lord March.
Which is his real name.
There's actually a Lord March who owns this fucking this estate, but he says, please come to my festival of speed.
Sound like that at all.
He probably sounds like that. These beautiful cars you can drive, and you go out there and you drive. And I thought that they finally put a story in Gran Turismo. They thought, okay, there's this crazy English banner lord who's trying to kill you by putting you in these cars, and like he paid for these races. But no, it turns out there's actually a Goodwood Festival of Speed. Like as Matt said, it's been going for the 60s.
Yeah, there's a real one. It happens every year.
And it's run by the Lord of March.
There's an actual Lord of March on his crazy ass English estate, and he just decided one day, it's like, you know what? We need more racing over here in England. I'm just going to open up a racetrack. And because he's insanely rich, he had a festival.
He decided was, A, that he loved cars, and B, that the town around his estate was very poor, and he wanted to do something to get some tourists in to spend some money. So he converted a big chunk of his estate into a sort of makeshift racetrack.
Into the Goodwood Racing Ring.
Goodwood Racing Road Racing Company, actually.
Yeah, and he expected that some people would show up, but then, like, the first one was, like, this ridiculous madhouse of people showed up on his front lawn. He had no idea what to do with them.
I mean, it's, like, the 60s, so they're probably high as fuck.
Yeah, probably. And it's England, so they all showed up in, like, bug-eyed sprites. But I'm still waiting on my Gran Turismo to come in Amazon.
Like, I just I didn't even pre-order. I just decided, you know, oh, yeah, Gran Turismo came out. So that Friday, I went and bought it. That's so fucked up. You still don't have it.
I've stopped worrying about stuff like that. We didn't, like, order launch day shipping. And technically, this is my birthday present, which is until next Sunday.
Okay.
So I don't really care that much that it's not here yet.
Happy pre-birthday before I forget.
And to Imran as well.
Yeah, mine's Friday.
Happy pre-birthday to you, Imran, before I forget.
Did you see what Microsoft sent me?
What did they send you?
They sent me an email that says, click here to print out a virtual cake. Then you can print out the cake, and then they say to take a picture with it, and then tweet that picture with the hashtag something Xbox, so they can reply to you from their automatic Twitter account, happy birthday.
Did it also include a printout for an automatic note to your girlfriend that you should be allowed to eat all the cake, and she can't have any?
That's separate.
That's separate. Okay.
So wait, but, is it is the cake like a QR code, or is it?
I have no idea.
Or is it just like a picture of cake?
That's Portal.
I think it's just a picture of cake.
Can you print? Can you print out the?
That's Portal. That's Portal 3. The cake is a QR code.
Oh God, I hate you. Can you print out the cake and like put it up before your waifu and just have your waifu like before the cake?
God. I kind of consider doing that, just like printing out the cake and making the most embarrassing thing possible so they had to reply to it and retweet it.
Still time. You can still do this.
But they used to give you 25 Microsoft points, and now that they're off Microsoft points, they would just give you 25 cents, presumably, or, you know, 10 cents, but now they're not doing that now, which is cake.
Fake.
So somebody decided that was too expensive.
Fake cake that you have to do the work to get the fucking bot reply. Thanks.
It's not that it's too expensive to give 25 cents, it's that then that's another transaction to be taxed and recorded. Whereas if it was Microsoft points, they could just credit your account without actually using money in any way.
Yeah. I don't know why they changed. Microsoft points was... you needed a calculator, but it was fine.
It just seemed like Microsoft points would have been fine if they just made 1 point equal a penny.
Yeah.
Like, that would have solved everything wrong with that.
I imagine the logic was we don't want people to know how much this stuff actually costs. Like, we want them to think, oh, man... 1,200 points. That's not $15. It's 12.
Yeah. All right. What were you even playing, man?
I finished BioShock Infinite.
Oh, cool.
Which, while I'm going to say was pretty well plotted out, has some big major problems with the plot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Major plot holes. Hmm? Such as...
Warning or...
Spoiler warning? Because this is like very much end game spoilers.
Mm.
Okay.
Don't listen for the next minute.
So if Comstock is DeWitt,
yes.
Why is he older and have a different voice?
Because he's crazy now. I don't know. He just changed his appearance.
Because the game seems to take place in 1912, and then when you get to Columbia, they tell you that it is 1912. But they're not the same age at all.
Well, right.
Well, I mean, that Comstock's from an alternate... He age.
Yes. Well, he's from an alternate reality, but in that alternate reality, it's also 1912.
Right, I was going to say, the alternate realities seem to be run parallel time-wise.
Yeah, well, it's not just that they run parallel time-wise, it's that they tell you what year it is in both of the realities.
Well, like, yeah,
they
it's just
explicitly
that
tell you that they're both 1912.
Okay, yeah, but when this timeline split, it's like... He was doing other things. Like,
I'm not sure he's that much older. Like, he looks older, but he's not necessarily like...
He just grew a beard, basically.
Yeah.
He has white hair.
And he probably bleached it. It's neither impossibility.
Zapped by lightning.
I could easily see, given the right amount of choices, that Booker would have different hair color.
Yeah.
I guess. But also, if the Lutece twins can freely move about between realities... Why is Elizabeth that important?
Well, they can freely move about realities because of an accident that happened, like, when they were killed.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
So why don't
she's... Okay, the entire point of the game... It turns out the entire point of that game isn't so much that Elizabeth was important. It was an experiment by Lutece's twins to see if they could change time.
It was an experiment. They thought it was a moral imperative, or at least the male Lutece did.
I just caught on that it was just like an experiment to them that they wanted to see if it could be done. Well,
they screwed things up, and then they were like, the male Lutece was the only one who decided that they needed to actually fix it.
Yeah. Okay.
And I guess Elizabeth was just, like, I don't think Elizabeth was necessarily that important. It's just that they knew she was the only one that would kill Booker.
I think it was important that she not get to 1984. It would be very bad if she was to be allowed to, like, live in her, like, current state. So they had to get rid of her in some way, and this is really the only way to, like, end all the possible timelines. I think it's been so long since I played it, I have to go back and play it again, because it made... I swear to God it made sense when I played that fucking game.
Yeah, because they're not time traveling. It's more like they're going up and down the tree of possibilities.
Yeah.
It's all based on probabilities and branching paths. So you go back to an earlier point in the tree... And change what happens across all of the paths. Yeah.
I mean, you can basically think away all of those time or the plot holes by just saying they tried it and it didn't work. Because there's literally infinite possibilities of what they could have done.
Yeah. And there's no way of telling if like this was the last one they did either.
This could be the first one or the 7 millionth one.
It does. Just one practical question though: how do they have DLC then with Elizabeth?
Because infinite possibilities,
I guess.
Yeah, that's basically the entire premise.
Well, that's the other thing. Yeah. It's literally infinite possibilities, but they couldn't find one where they didn't die. You think they'd look around for that for a little while?
I mean, again, maybe they did. But I don't think you can make a situation where Comstock does not exist without killing Booker.
Yeah. There are plot holes, because there's always going to be plot holes with, like, warping reality.
Or time travel or anything like that.
Yeah. But I do appreciate that they tried to, like, explore the idea of forgiveness and redemption and whether you should put the past behind you or let it haunt you so that you don't make the same mistakes again.
Now this is where I wish you had a PlayStation 3 so you could immediately go back and watch The Last of Us and see how they treated some of these other same concepts in just a different matter.
Don't you have Last of Us as well?
Play The Last of Us. What's wrong with you?
I don't have that much time.
Finish one thing and then go play something else. That's why I'm not concerned that Gran Turismo 6 isn't here yet, because I still have to play The Last of Us.
Like, your kid can probably take care of herself for a little while now, so you can just skip to The Last of Us. Like,
I think you said just let your kid play The Last of Us.
Yeah.
And it's probably fine.
It'd probably be outside. It needs to be outside anyway.
I've also been playing more of Beyond this week, which I was kind of playing on a lark, because I just wanted to see the technology.
Are you going to tell me you legitimately enjoy that game?
The facial animations, by the way, the technology, totally delivers. That is one of the best animation engines I've ever seen.
Like, just facial animation, or like the whole body? Because there was
LA Noir. The whole body's pretty okay. Okay. It's better than LA Noir, isn't it?
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure it's like 3D face scan or something.
They start with 3D face scanning, but because it takes place at multiple times, like, they go back and forth in the timeline. So, like, Willem Dafoe's character specifically, they have to age and de-age him. Jody, the Ellen Page character, mostly switches between looking like Ellen Page and looking like this child actor. But it's not just straight-up scanning. They have to do a lot of work after that to make them the appropriate age. But, that game is far better than I expected. It still has big issues, but it's not nearly as easy to write off as I had originally thought.
Is it because it's actually good, or because you had rock bottom expectations going in?
I don't know.
Because that happens to me sometimes. I kind of enjoyed Final Fantasy XIII because I thought it was going to be cancer.
Yeah. Well, I thought this game was going to be.
Maybe that's how the Rise reviews work.
Yeah, I'm sure that's part of it. Everyone says this game is going to be really bad. It's like, this isn't the worst thing in the world.
It's just average. Okay, this is also above average score.
Well, the thing with Beyond Two Souls is that I wasn't enjoying it, and then I got to like a chapter that was really good, and then it was like, okay, this is starting to pick up, and the story is actually starting to go somewhere. It's just that it started too slowly.
It's a little bit like Dishonored, maybe that way.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, if it weren't for the pacing problems, it would be a much better game. But if it weren't for the pacing problems, it would also only be like a 6 to 8 hour game.
I feel like that's true of most games. If it weren't for the pacing problems, it would probably be a better game.
Yeah, and they all have pacing problems. I have a feeling that's going to be like a recurring theme in the Game of the Year discussions. Just talking about how this year was a banner year for short games.
Mm-hmm.
And by cutting out a lot of the crap, games got better. Like Saints Row 4. You didn't have to spend so much time getting in a car and driving around a city. You could just run and jump over things. And it made it a really fun time. And not like the game before it was anything you wouldn't want to play, but just not having to deal with really long, annoying transit time changes the equation entirely. Yeah.
Well, also
cut the fat and just distill it down to. I think it's one of those things you can only get at the game, end of the generation, though. Because I think at the beginning of the generation, people want that fat.
Well, it's also you take a look at games that came out this year and think about how much they'd been better if some parts were left out. Like, you take Bioshock Infinite and cut out, like, the middle part of it, and it's a way better video game.
See, and I also love The Last of Us, but at some point, like, that game got too long.
Yeah.
Well, like, the end of the game, if I'm having a tough time, like, at the very climactic moment, if I just want to run past people, then something messed up along the way.
Yeah. For Bioshock Infinite, like, a really specific thing is when you have to find. First, you go to the grave of Elizabeth's mother, okay? And then you have to battle her ghost.
Yeah. A lot of that felt like busy work.
That was dumb. And then it's like the Lutessas come out. It's like, you've got to find three tares to show her the truth. And then once you show her the truth, she still doesn't want to cooperate with you. So you got to punch her ghost some more.
That was so, like, video gamey. And and I was hoping the game would be above that, but it went ahead and did that.
Yeah. And not only did it do that, but you had to go find the three tares, which were separated by significant distances. And each one had an arena in front of it. And it's like, this is. Why am I doing this?
This is so video game. Like, in something that didn't want to be a video game, you guys just went ahead and put, like, this 2004 bullshit in the middle of it.
You know, ever since I heard Valve describe the way they make their games, like, their shooting games, as mostly corridors and then arenas. Mm-hmm. Like, those are the two main types of structures they have to build in order to have a functioning shooter. And then every time I see it in any other genre, it's so obvious now.
All right. We will bring this conversation up again when we do the Game of the Year stuff.
Yep.
We're going to do it.
Yep.
We'll see you next.
Hopefully all of us are not sick then.
Oh, God. Snow.
You guys also have that thing where your body knows vacation is coming and it just gives up?
Yep.
Here comes vacation. Time to be violently nauseous.
Yay.
Hooray.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Play games.
Play games.